Hello, I'm Harry Jones and welcome to the 105 Football Weekly, the podcast where we bring you the best interviews and debates from Cambridge 105 Radio's football shows over the past 7 days. In today's episode, you can hear from Histon manager Lance Key and City manager Robbie Nightingale, and the highlights from Wednesday evening's Cambridgeshire football show midweek, where Ollie Slack talked Cambridge United's FA Cup draw and discussed Louis John and Andy Dallas's future at the club. He was also joined by Jose Lima from Cambridge United Futsal to review their recent start to the 2019-20 season.
Be happy with the draw, Hartlepool at home if the U's get past, thanks to the return of Ryan Donaldson, the King of Wembley.
That's going to be an interesting one, that. I mean, do you want a decent tie that might attract people along, but you risk a chance of losing, or do you want a supposedly easier tie? And you always have to slip the supposedly in, because we've proved many times that you can play against much poorer teams than yourself and not get anything out of it. Whether it's cup or league, you can see many examples of that. So I think it's not going to attract loads of people along, but as I say, it probably gives us a fairly good chance. If we can get past Exeter, it gives us a fairly good chance of making it into the third round draw, which is, then you'd be disappointed if you drew Hartlepool or something like that. You'd want one of the bigger clubs, even if it means, it means going out. At least you go out in a blaze of glory, you get your chance for the giant killing act.
Yeah, hopefully so. Well, fingers crossed the U's can get past Exeter and then move on to Hartlepool. Poor Hartlepool. They weren't too happy. They have to possibly travel down to Exeter if the Exeter get through. And I think they were previously down the southwest in the last round of the Cup as well. Louis John and Andy Dallas, Tim. Let's start with Louis. Yep. John moved on to Sutton United, or back to Sutton United, on loan, though, until January. Do you think it's a good move for him? Good move for the club?
I mean, it's got to be a good move for him because he gets to play football. Good move for the club. Again, it gets him out playing football, but I'm not sure. I'm kind of always a bit disappointed. We saw him when he came to the club and had such a great pre-season, and didn't make it into the didn't make it into the squad on a regular basis. And we've seen glimpses of him. Sometimes his performance hasn't been as good as you'd want. But a lot of the times he's been a more than adequate replacement, and just hasn't managed to break in. And it's always difficult because he's playing against, or he's playing alongside a squad with on paper a lot of experienced defenders. But at times when we've played poorly, he's still never been given a chance. And I think putting him out to loan is good for everybody in terms of at least he'll get match practice. It's just interesting to see what plans there are longer term for him, and whether he's got a shout or whether this is the beginning of kind of moving him out slowly. I don't know.
I think we said when Elliot Ward signed, he signed pretty late in the transfer window, that this was bad news for either one of Harry Darling or Louis John, and we'd expect probably one of them to go out on loan at some point in the season, because the U's having Greg Taylor, George Taft, Louis John, Harry Darling and Elliot Ward, albeit they have played three at the back for the majority of the season, and Carl Noyle then moving into centre-back as well, six centre-halves. It doesn't fit pretty well. There's always going to be some players who's going to miss out. It does strike that feeling of a player who has a fair decent decent stock, to be fair, when he was in the conference, but hasn't quite fulfilled it. But like you said, Tim, he has had pre-seasons and spells, particularly at the beginning of seasons, where he's shown promise. Andrew Dallas is another player who came with a decent reputation, and this is another player who the U's have seemed to have so many of Andrew Dallas's over the years, the likes of Joe Piggott or other players, Gerald Morrissey or Rory Gafferty, who've come with decent reputations of being either goal scorers or creative players, and they just can't quite seem to settle in or hit the ground running. Dallas came off in the 75th minute last night. He scored one goal in 11. Is it inevitable that it's just not going to work out for him, or do you think there's still time?
No, I think he's young. I mean, I think he's got two things to look forward to. One is that he will get a shot and he will score goals for us. I don't doubt that. The second is if he does leave, like many of the other players who've come to us and couldn't score, he's going to score a hatful elsewhere. So at least he's got that to look forward to. You know, he's just young and he came with the problem of being homesick. It's obviously taken him a long time to settle in. I think it's always very, very unfair as well. We quote, you know, 11 games, one goal. But if you actually add up the minutes on the pitch in those 11 games, you know, apart from the leasing.com, they are small. I mean, some of his appearances have been as little as 3 minutes. So it's probably a little unfair to target him with that. You know, the difficulty, as you know, Smith and Richards are showing at the moment in turning out a striking partnership where both parties score, it's a problem. You've got to play regularly with someone. You've got to get on the same wavelength as them. So if you're slotting into a team, it's always more difficult. We've seen glimpses of the way he can play good technical football, but I think, you know, he is young, and I think he will make it. I think he shows enough to show that he can do something. It's just a question of when the time is right, and he has a good run of form. I think we'll be looking at him in a different way then.
Well, fingers crossed. I think you make a good point, Tim, that we do forget he is only 20 years of age, and he came down from Scotland with a pretty good reputation. That's probably why we forget he is such a young lad as well, and signed for an undisclosed fee as well, which in Cambridge United terms doesn't happen too often, so there was a fair bit of excitement about him. But Tim, as ever, thank you very much. We'll hear more from you on the Cambridge Football Show on Saturday. Thanks very much, and try and next time, just in case, just do your research on England games. I don't think I'll ask you it again, though.
Will do. Cheers.
Cheers. Tim Armitage is there talking about the Ewes match against Peterborough last night. They lost 2-1 to United in their final EFL Trophy game. The Ewes finished their trophy campaign 2019-20 bottom of Group H in the southern section. Right then, let's move on to Cambridge United Futsal. And you heard the voice earlier at the start of the show was of Jose Leams. He's still here in the studio. Jose, let's talk futsal then. You got your first win of the season a week last Sunday, 9-5 over Leicester. Three games, currently sit just below mid-table in the National Futsal League in fifth. Nice to get the first W on the board and nice to see it in the column in the table.
Yeah, no, I think it normally takes us three or four games, so I guess there's some improvement there. but, no, look, to be fair, we've had a fairly tough start. We've played York away and Oxford away as well, and they're teams with a lot of experience. They've played for a number of years, and they're quite hard to beat at home. And I guess the positive thing is that in both games, in all three, but in the two we've lost, we were in the game right until the end. And in futsal, and we lost 4-2 against Oxford. The last kick of the game was a goal for Oxford, so actually it was 3-2. We tried to just gamble a little bit, and then he didn't pay off, and they scored, and then he goes down to like 4-2. And when you just look at the scoreline, you can't quite tell the whole story.
Monty Boutel got a brace on week last Sunday in the 9-5 win over Leicester. Toby Hardwick with four as well. Could be young players doing pretty well for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I don't see them as young players anymore. Although I think I just forget how young they are and how old I'm getting, I guess. but yeah, no, look, they've both been around for 4 or 5 seasons, and they're still only 20 and 19, and they just enjoying their futsal, which is the main thing. And now they're becoming the most experienced players in the squad because they've been around for so long, even though they are quite young, and that means goals in futsal. That means that they'll score in a lot of the games, and yeah, it's really good for them because it just gets them the confidence that they all thrive on.
What's the standard like? Obviously, it's a new setup. You explained about it last time in terms of the National Futsal League breaking away, and the National Futsal Series is the one ran by the FA. The FA do obviously help fund the league that you're in as well, but what's the standard like? Have you found it been pretty good so far?
The standard has has dropped a bit, and I think that's obviously always going to happen. And I think that the standard in the other competition has dropped a little. I'll correct you, because the FA doesn't fund the competition we're in. They used to, and they might in the future. Let's hope so. But they haven't for the season, so they've directed all the funding to the other competition.
And is it funded by the clubs then? Sorry, the new competition, by yourselves and all the other clubs as well?
It is, yeah. So it's all run by the clubs, yeah. and I guess funded by the clubs. Yes, the funds that existed in the past, some of them are still there, so I guess, yeah, in theory, some of the remaining money from previous seasons is still there and is going towards towards referees and stuff like that, but yeah, I mean, the standard is good. It's not as high as it has been in previous seasons. There's obviously less teams, but then there's really good things being done, like the playoffs, which we haven't had for a number of years. So at the end of the season, it's not just if you just win all your games, you will be the league winners, and that's it. You then go into a playoff, and then it also just starts again, which does add a little bit of excitement into the competition.
It certainly does. The Sunday just gone, Manchester defeated Birmingham Tigers BCU 25-5. I guess that shows that the league has still got to settle down in terms of the creme de la creme rising to the top and the not-so-good teams dropping down to the leagues below. I guess that's going to take a bit of settling in period.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think the issue that Birmingham Tigers have got at the moment is that they've kind of... dividing themselves into this competition and then the other, and so there's Manchester, to be fair, but obviously that's a tough a tough ask every time you've got two games away. So when you travel in a game of futsal, you travel with five or six players anywhere, you're probably not really going to last to 40 minutes, and you'll eventually get punished. And I think they're finding out the hard way. But yeah, you're right. I think some teams will just naturally find their feet and perhaps in the lower divisions, and some teams will come up as well. But that's the same with the other competition as well. Mm. I think that's the shameful bit about splitting the competitions down into different ones and creating another one, is that there's always going to be a period of transition, and yeah, we just kind of have to ride that wave and just kind of do our job, let's say.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed you're at the top of the settling in period, so you don't slip down the division. I'm sure you'll be liking to finish in or stay in the division. Where do you reckon you can finish? Having a look at the standard, are your sights set around the sort of top half?
Certainly the top half. I don't want to put anyone under pressure, but we're in it to win it, and we've always been. And I think in the past it's always been really difficult, because obviously the standard was slightly higher. But then again, we're a little bit less experienced. So I think going into this league and knowing who the other teams are, and knowing that actually there are no professional sides in, there are no semi-pros in, then we got to aim for the top, because, you know, we've beaten everyone that is in our league. So there's no reason why we shouldn't aim for first place. So can we finish in first place? Yes. Are we? But yeah, I don't know. I hope so. But
don't want to make a bold prediction.
Well, that's it. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Sheffield, you were due to play them this Sunday. That's been postponed due to a location area. You saw the facility isn't quite ready, or trying to find a place to sort of hold the event, are they?
Yeah, that's right. I think they've struggled with the court size in Sheffield, the English Institute of Sport. So that's been the league has postponed that. We've contested that decision, because I think it's a little bit late to make that call. But it does look like it'll be postponed. Yeah,
Manchester the following week, though, who currently sit top of the league, so a bit of a test in your fourth match of the season.
Yeah, the tricky thing with Manchester is that you never really know what squad you're going to play, because obviously they've got a team in the National Futsal Series and a team in the league we're in, the National Futsal League, and they kind of... We sort of expected them to use the National Futsal League as a little bit of a reserve or like a development team... opportunity for the younger players, and they've got a fantastic youth setup, but actually they've been doing a little bit of both, so you just never know. But actually, even if it is the younger ones playing, they've proved that they can beat anyone so far, so they'll be a tough game, and obviously it's a long way for us to travel. So that you know, you got to take that into account. But yeah, we go in there and we've gone there in the past and we got 3 points in the past. So I'm hoping for the same a week on Sunday.
Fingers crossed. And your first home game on the 8th of December, a long wait, but it'll be a nice homecoming, I imagine.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I think we're lucky that we're going to have 3 home games in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that actually benefits us in terms of getting the crowds in. Which I think we've noticed in the past when we've got a few games in quick succession, then it works quite well for us. And look, all the players and all the staff enjoy having people to come and watch us. It's free entry. It's nice and warm and dry. It's not, you don't have to stand outside in the rain or in the cold. So there's no reason not to at least give it a go if you've never watched
exactly.
It. And if you have, then I'm pretty sure you would have been convinced to come back.
That was Ollie Slack with the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek. Just a little reminder, Cambridge United Futsal Club are in action in their first home game of the season on the 8th of December against Liverpool Futsal Club, and support is always appreciated, so make sure you get along to the University of Cambridge Sports Centre and support Cambridge in the Futsal League. Regarding Cambridge United, they made a good point about Andy Dallas and his future story at the club. I think it's important for a player of his stature to fulfil his role in the club, which is scoring goals. So for him to not be scoring is warning signs, and a player like Dallas is not delivering, it's worrying. And maybe you could argue whether he's up to the task of playing for United at the minute with other players scoring goals, which you'd expect him to be scoring, with Reggie Lammon pressing this season and Sam Smith obviously scoring all the goals this season for Cambridge. So really interesting to see if Colin is looking to keep him in the side and let him prove himself. Next up, on Saturday, Cambridge City defeated Witham Town 2-1. It was their third win on the bounce and they moved up to ninth in the Isthmian North League. And Tim Armitage was joined by Robbie Nightingale on the From the Terraces show on Sunday. Robbie found the result a pleasing victory.
We've lost one league game in five now. So, yeah, things are starting to look up, and we're really pleased with certainly the group of players that we've got at the moment. You know, they're really putting a shift in, and yesterday's performance sort of, you know, typified, you know, not a great place to go and play, and you know, pitch wasn't great, and we dug in, and you know, I just listened to Steve, and we played some good, all right football on a very difficult surface, and you know, it was tough. You know, conditions were tough, but you know, we did control the majority of the game, and it was pleasing that, you know, we get the two goals and we look such assured sort of centrally at the back and dominated aerially. And I say it was the one blip yesterday was the one sort of hopeful punt over the top that caught us sort of sleeping. And you know, when you give a team like Witham a sort of heads up in a game, it's tough. And we knew that they'd put the ball in the box at every opportunity. They got a monster throw, and they were throwing it from like near enough to halfway line. So they put us under, you know, extreme pressure. And I thought we defended yesterday extremely well. And we've done that sort of over the last three or four games now. And hopefully, you know, we've got a group of players now that, you know, they're working hard for one another. They're, you know, we've added good quality from this league, so they know the league. So yeah, it's, you know, it sets us up nicely. We're just cruising along, just under the radar a little bit. And yeah, you know, results sort of show that, you know, we're, like I say, we're 2 points off Fiston in seventh or eighth, and I think we're only 5 points off a playoff. So, you know, it's early days still. I think we've played 10, 11 games. So, you know, it's still very early days, and we're looking forward to a nice week of, you know, football with Histon and Heybridge on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you say, you've got Histon midweek in the cup, and then you've got actually you're seeing out November with a very difficult run of league games. You've got Heybridge, who I think are third or fourth. You've got Maldon and Tiptree, now FA Cup giant killers, and then you've got Aveley, three successive Saturdays. Difficult games. Is the cup game a bit of a distraction for you?
Not really, because it gives us an opportunity. We've got good competition for places now, and it, you know, Tuesday's game gives us good opportunity to give subs from yesterday a good run out. You know, and it gives one or two an opportunity that weren't in the squad an opportunity. So, you know, we haven't got a reserve team. We haven't, you know, we've got a youth team game that's Monday. So, but we have got what we've got. It's sort of 17 players. And, you know, we've got one or two knocks from yesterday that will be rested because, obviously, you know, Heybridge Saturday is a big game for us. And with that in mind, one or two probably won't play Tuesday. But nevertheless, it's a local derby. And it's one that we want to win. Now, whatever team we put out on Tuesday, we feel, you know, local pride. The game we had before against Lance and Histon, you know, it wasn't good enough second half and we got punished. So we're looking to improve on that and hopefully we can get a positive performance.
Excellent. Well, I've lost what I was going to say there. But I mean, we talk about league position, and it's very early to say. But Maldon and Tiptree are interesting. Just want to touch on them, obviously, in light of their FA Cup win against Leighton and bringing in 36,000, which is, more than just a windfall for a club at this level. It shows that, especially in the FA Cup, you know, when both teams are desperate to move forward, that, you know, Maldon and Tiptree, who are, you know, effectively, you know, that they're unbeaten so far, 100% record so far in this league. I mean, how good are they? You know, you've obviously seen them play. What's the plan against that, although it's a couple of weeks away?
Well, yeah, they're tough. You know, their links with Colchester and their ability to bring players in on sort of a trial basis, you know, to try and push them into Colchester, you know, fits them really well. They're strong all over. I listened to Lance. They haven't got a weak link. They went to Royston and beat them 3-1. You know, they're a very, very tough nut to crack. And, you know, the front three, certainly. I don't think I've seen better at step four ever. You know, they've got everything. They've got pace, power. They're clever. They all score goals. As I say, it's 2 weeks away, but, you know, I've seen them play once or twice. We know Brownie, the manager there, very well, so we know how his teams play and how they want to set up, and that they're going to be very tough to crack. But it's like they've done today. You know, they've gone to Leighton Orient and beat them. It's a game of football. If they're not quite on their game and we're at the top of ours, then, you know, we might get a result. So we go there, hopefully, in good confidence, have a good week this week. And we go there like, you know, nice pitch. It suits us. It'll suit them, obviously. So hopefully it'll be a good game of football that, you know, they might have their eye on a big FA Cup second round opponent that they might take their eye off of Cambridge City and not quite be at the level that they have been at. So, yeah, it's good for our league as well that teams like them are doing so well in both competitions because it shows you the strength of depth of our league. So, we're hopeful that they can progress a bit further. So it means that their backlog of fixtures probably will keep them going for quite a long time.
Indeed, it will keep them going for quite a long time. I think even the fact that you're mentioning that a team from step four are now in the second round proper of the FA Cup says all it needs to say about the English non-league. It is really right up there in terms of a league system around the world.
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly I've seen a lot of, you know, the Southern League and the teams in the Ryman side of, you know, whether it's the Premier or the North or the South, you know, this league, they tend to go and do okay in the FA Cup. You know, there was quite a few of our league clubs in the round before. I think non-league football, you know, it's going well. And you look at some of the conference national teams that have, and the conference South clubs that have put Football League opposition out today, you know, they are filtering down into the pyramid now, these you know, good players, and they're staying around. I think giving young lads an opportunity to play as well. You know, coming out of pro clubs, they've got, you know, good clubs to go into in non-league, and there's lots of non-league clubs that are, you know, backing young players to succeed. And I think, you know, certainly Maldon and Tiptree, they're one of those. You know, average age is about 20. So, you know, fair play to them. And you know, it just shows you how strong non-league football is.
That was Tim Armitage on Sunday on the From the Terraces show from 6pm. Cambridge City have now got 4 wins from the last 5 in the league and are only 4 points off the playoff spots. And up next, they have Heybridge Swifts. Swifts are sitting pretty in third with only 2 losses to their name this whole season, but they're going through some slightly inconsistent form as they've lost 2 of the last 3 in all competitions with a huge 5-0 defeat to Avely. Moving on, and finally on this week's 105 Football Weekly, more chat about Histon's 1-0 win over Felixstowe and Walton. It puts Histon within 2 points of the playoff spots in the Isthmian North, and manager Lance Key spoke to Tim on the From the Terraces show.
To have back-to-back clean sheets, which I don't think we've done all season, and the manner that we've done it as well. Because I think, obviously, the Hartford game on Wednesday, yes, there was 2 weaker sides as such with youngsters in both sides, but it was the manner that on the Wednesday night where we had our senior players, if you like, that led by example, and then made the youngsters kind of follow suit on that evening. And then yesterday, the same thing was applied. You know, our attitude was, you know, just playing the game for as long as possible. And it reminded me a bit of last year where we ground our results last year and won some games 1-0, 2-0 by just being kind of clinical at one end and very, you know, stingy at the other. And that was us yesterday. It was nice to see us how we were last year for many a week that we were last year.
And an interesting week coming up. We can't gloss over the CAMS Invitational Cup, Cambridge City, midweek. And then Maldon and Tiptree, who knocked you out the FA Cup, and now have gone on to beat Leighton Orient to get to the second round. Yeah. I mean, they're having a real good time of it. Is it a good time to be playing them in the league?
I don't think any time is a good time to play Maldon and Tiptree. Having said that, they may have their focus on the next round of the FA Cup after, depending on what kind of draw they get tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, they're a phenomenal side. And I even commented to certain people in our village that, you know, that they'll give Orient the game, and they've duly done that because they don't have a weak link in their side. And obviously Wayne Brown, his manager, who's the under-23 manager at Colchester, can dip into players as and when he needs them. So they've got a lovely base of people that he can get in for free as well, which also helps. But then we've got a little game against Cambridge on Tuesday night as well. So, yeah, quite kind of an interesting week coming up.
I mean, obviously, everyone's looking forward to that. I expect probably quite a big crowd for that one. I mean, you're only competing against a meaningless trophy with a meaningless game with Peterborough United, I think. So it'll be interesting to see who comes down there. But I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting game, that one.
God, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you look at how, you know, I think you were talking about Cambridge City now, yes?
What did I say?
I mean, it's one of those, isn't it? It's a local derby. You know, probably Robbie and myself have, you know, past history and playing with each other, and now obviously crossing horns as managers, and they're very, very good friends on and off the field. And it's a local derby. Obviously, the League Cup game, obviously, which we did well in against them, they'll want to probably pay us back for that, but we'll give it all on Tuesday night. It's another competition that you can try and win. Obviously, the carrots being dangled is obviously to play at Cambridge United, so why not? And it's, you know, can we keep momentum? Can we try and keep another clean sheet? I mean, that's what we try and you bake success on. And yes, it's going to be a tough week, but it'll be an interesting one, and hopefully one that we can obviously learn from. But we've got a tough 4 or 5 weeks coming up now, so the last 3 games have been massive for us to keep 2 clean sheets, and so it just gives you a bit of confidence going into the next couple of games, hopefully.
Lance, Niall here. Nice to speak to you this evening. How pleased are you, as such, to the way that you've adapted back into this division this year, considering it was a division that only a couple of years you came out of, albeit the same level that you've come out of? How pleased are you that the players have responded to that step up and are really competing towards the top end as well?
I'm very pleased. I mean, obviously, yeah, I mean, like Tim just said, about the last 2 weeks, we could have, you know, if you could have kind of get those wins against the lesser sides, you know, like we've had the games in essence where we haven't picked up the points where we probably should have. But it just shows you how strong this league is. And so, to answer your question, I think, you know, from my personal point of view, we haven't shown a great deal of consistency. Having said that, we're still in the top half of this league where we've come into it for the first time in 2 years. You know, the boys have done really well, and if we can learn from each game and build on each game like we are doing right now, you know, 6 wins, 6 losses, you know, it just shows you that we if we lose them, we lose them heavily. But if we win them, we win them, you know, well as well. And I think it just shows you that this group is capable of playing in this league. Whether we finish top half or bottom half, it doesn't really matter this year, if I'm honest. But if we can hang on to coattails in the playoffs, then you just don't know. And then obviously with that, you know, then one or two players, you know, have already left. You may then rebuild your squad slightly, which then also changes your mindset because different attitudes come into your squad. And then all of a sudden it gives you a different impetus. So who knows? But yeah, we're very pleased where we are right now.
Excellent. As you said, I mean, we've talked about this before, the run into December. There's some very, very difficult fixtures. I think you're playing virtually everyone in the top five or six. And now, I guess, you know, you'll want to kick on into those to, you know, to get as many points as you can. You've had some good results against top sides, games that probably were expected to struggle in. You'd be wanting to pick up, you know, a good number of points to take you into the new year in much the same position you're in now?
Without a doubt. I mean, the only thing that goes against us right now, obviously we have a squad that is obviously is lacking because we've had three players leave, and then we've also got two or three injuries as well. Obviously Lee Smith and Evan Key both out, probably out for a couple of weeks. Lewis McDonald coming back from injury, but obviously it shows you how different this league is. It's taking a bit longer to get back to the pace of what he needs to get back to. And then we've got some very exciting youngsters that come into that squad to help us out. And so my decision now is whether I bring one or two more players in to bolster the squad, or do I stick with the kids? As it turns out, the kids have done very well. But, you know, I just think that from where we are right now to if we can get through Christmas in the next 4 or 5 weeks unscathed and still pick up, say, 2 or 3 wins in this batch of games, I think it's been a very good first sort of 3 or 4 months in this league.
That was Tim Armitage from the Terraces on Sunday from 6 p.m. That is all we have time for this week on the 105 Football Weekly. I have been Harry Jones, and thank you for listening on Cambridge 105 Radio. We'll be back next week for another episode, and sports coverage continues with Cambridgeshire Football Show on Saturday from 12 p.m. Thank you. Cambridge 105.